Tune it in, check it out, listen up, find out what it is all about.
Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 FM in beautiful Placidas, New Mexico. And today we're going to tell you something that I think you not only need to know, but you'll enjoy knowing, and that's about the Bernalillo Farmers Market. And it is Nancy Kellum Rose who is here to tell us all about it. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
One might say another farmers market, or one might go, wow, there's one near us. So where is the farmers market?
The farmers market, and it has a new location, is at Rotary Park, which is right at the end of Don Tomas. So for people who don't like Friday traffic, you can get off at, for us, the second, but if you're coming from the city, the first Bernalillo exit, and get right over to the park without going through all of the downtown traffic and all those folks trying to get home to Rio Rancho. So we're at a beautiful new location. We've got covered pavilions, which is wonderful for the vendors because we don't have to worry about rain and we don't have to worry about setting up canopies. In the park has soccer fields, playgrounds, a senior center, and the parking is very easy. So we are now in a very family-friendly, easily accessible location.
This is a win-win-win.
It is, and we are the only farmers market between Corrales and Santo Domingo. So
location.
We serve Sandoval County, Placidas, Bernalillo, a little bit of Corrales, Rio Rancho, the Rio Rancho Farmers Market, which was more, it was as much crafts as it was food, has closed this year. So we're going to be at the Idalia, the Idalia Street Market was the one in Rio Rancho.
Right.
And it's not going to happen this year. So we are your source of fresh, organic, local, fabulous food.
So you're just by happenstance kind of cornering the farmer's market industry for this part of the county, I guess.
We are, and we've kept it on. It's been on Friday afternoons forever, and we don't want to be in competition with Corrales or with the downtown market. They're both fabulous markets.
Absolutely.
And bigger than we are. But because there are so many people in our immediate area that want fresh food, and there are a lot of people, particularly in Bernalillo, who are on supplemental food programs. There's the Five Pueblos have a supplemental food program, and these are all checks.
Right.
The seniors, the folks on SNAP, which is what used to be called food stamps.
Right.
So
I thought there was EBT or ETB or
that's part of
another
that's,
program.
No, that's all part of the food stamps
okay.
program.
That's a different program.
Yeah. Well, it's confusing that all of those people have checks to buy fresh local food. They can't use them at markets. They're only for the farmers market, and you can't buy prepared food with them. So if we're not there,
they don't get food.
They don't get the fresh produce because it's, you know, particularly in poorer communities, there usually isn't much access to fresh fruits and vegetables.
Now, if it's fresh fruits and vegetables, and so is it, and it's all local, mm-hmm. so there must be a season that the market is open.
This is true. It's also all organic. But we're opening on June the 17th, and we'll close on June the 28th. So that gives us the whole long growing season.
Right. June 17th to June 28th?
October 28th.
Okay. All right. June 17th to October 28th. June 17th, October 28th. I'm just going to ask you that question again.
Yes,
because
okay.
I got all muddled. So because all the food is local, organic, it's got to be seasonal. So the market has a season also?
That's right. We open on June 17th, and our last day is on October 28th.
Might I use that as a new farmer in the area to as kind of a guide as to when I should expect to be able to harvest my plants and back up as to when I should plant my plants?
Well, it matters on where you are. Our farm, Huertas Canyon Farm, is up at 7,000 feet, and we have to plant a little later than other people, but we have a little bit longer growing season, and because we're in a microclimate, we can get peas, both sugar snaps and snow peas, all year long. People, if you're down in the hotter flats,
right,
you'll get peas for June, maybe. Up here, we also have fruit trees. And if it doesn't, if we don't have a late freeze, right, we'll have fabulous fruit.
And nuts? Or
no,
too,
nuts
too high for nuts?
I think we're too high for nuts. Nuts are mostly a southern New Mexico thing.
I have heard from some folks who do have fruit trees that when it's a really, really good season and there wasn't a lot of snow, bears like to join you in your harvest.
Oh, yes. And bears not only like fruit trees, bears like vegetables, too. The weekend before we were opening the market a couple of years ago, a bear got into our garden over 6-foot-high fence and ripped off the row covers and the hoops and ate 80 heads of lettuce in one evening.
I can't imagine how that poor bear felt.
I'm hoping he had the worst poops of his life.
Well, your wish probably came true.
Yeah, but we have neighbors who have fruit trees, and they found bears in them, and mostly they like the apple trees a lot. If we have a bumper crop of apricots, and this will be, I think, your first season here,
right,
you will be gifted with apricots. Everybody has an overflow of apricots. And so the bears being nut, people, if they don't have to be, will just be picking them up off the ground.
Okay.
But, yeah, you'll very eventually get bears in the trees. And we have to put the beehive at our farm up on the roof because the bears got in and destroyed the beehive.
Well, they're just having a party up at the Cortez Canyon Ranch.
Well, we try and grow enough for everybody, but...
Well, I think there is a commercial seed producer who's running an ad now that, you know, dad or granddad grew... Mm-hmm. Food, mm-hmm. And he, you know, the little grandchild says, well, why are you growing so much? We don't need it. And it's, you know, it's not that we don't need it, it's that our neighbors need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then shows the kid with the little red wagon going down the street taking food to the neighbors.
We have found bags of apricots in our mailbox.
Take these, please.
Yes.
It's like, I've got a box of kittens here. Could you?
Right. It's zucchinis, mm-hmm. apricots. But no, we...
It's enough to make you not be a vegetarian anymore.
Well, we grow a lot of... A lot of people in Bernalillo have small gardens. And one of the nice things about this market is if you have an abundance of fruit for a couple of weeks of the year, you can just bring it down. You don't have to register with the market. You can show up, pay $5 for a stall, a space in the market... And sell your produce. And or you can sign up for the whole year like we do.
Right.
And know that you're going to get the same spot every time.
Sure.
But if I have friends here who get so many peaches that they don't know what to do with them, bring them down to the market. You don't have to be here every week.
Sure.
You don't have to have a variety. But if you have an overload, bring it to the market.
Bring a table. A couple of chairs, sit around and chat.
Exactly, exactly.
Make a couple of dollars.
The market is covered, so you don't have to worry about a canopy. But yeah, bring a table and chairs.
But now it has to be local.
Oh, yeah, you have to. You can only sell what you have produced.
Okay, and is there a geographic boundary of what you consider local? Like, is Cuba local?
We have people who come from Algodones, Penasco, I think.
Okay.
We don't have any geographical limitations. If you can get here, folks from the Pueblos come.
Sure.
And they bring fabulous roasted corn.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Pueblos don't really grow sweet corn because they're growing sacred corn and they don't want it to cross-pollinate.
Right.
But they will spend all night roasting Indian corn and bring a whole pickup truck full.
So it's not only fresh organic, it's freshly roasted.
Yes, yes.
Well, this might be the only place in the world you can get that.
Well, I don't know, but it's really delicious.
Well, we're going to credit it to the Bernalillo Farmers Market.
Right, okay.
How do you know that it's organic?
With small growers, you do not have to go through the certification process. If the grower makes less than $5,000 a year, and I was just told this recently, at the Organic Farmers Conference in Albuquerque, you can as long as you're not lying. Right. I mean, you don't have to go. It's a $250 process every year to get certified organic.
Sure.
So, and well, it's a lot of record keeping. And with very small producers, they're basically, if you're organic, you can say you're organic without proving it.
Right. Well, what about folks who may not necessarily, I don't want to say don't care, but they're not farmers. Mm-hmm. They're these weekend warriors,
right?
You know, hobby farmers, and or they may just have a couple of fruit trees that overproduce.
Right.
What should they do to make sure that you would consider them organic? What not to use?
Okay, we do not require that farmers be organic.
Okay.
But if they are, we encourage them to let the public know that. Well, we don't want Roundup. We don't want...
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that's not good.
Yes. It's pretty not good for everybody, including the soil. Yeah. But I know apple growers who spray. They say they can't get decent apples. They can't sell apples with worms in them. And
imagine that.
So yeah. Anybody will tell you if you ask, is this fruit been sprayed or not? They'll tell you. Now, most of our vendors do not spray at all.
Okay.
And a lot of them are family inherited land that's been in Corrales. Lots of good fruit comes from Corrales for decades, generations, and they've
out
never
here
used,
in the desert.
Yeah, they've never used chemicals. Yeah.
Well, now speaking of desert, I reminded myself not only for the Huertas Canyon Ranch that you run, but all of the other growers. I thought we didn't have any water.
We do have some water. We, and most of the people that we know, work on drip irrigation, which is a very economical way to use your water.
Sure.
It takes a little bit more time and effort to put in the drip system, but then...
That's a one-time deal.
It is.
Except fixing heads every
yes.
spring.
And there are places where you can't. There just isn't enough water to grow. But places along the Bosque have lots of water. We're way up in the mountains at 7,000 feet, and we've got wells, and we have good mountain well water.
Right. And not to offend any of our good friends in Rio Rancho or the town of Bernalillo or the Pueblos, but what if I might be in those city limits and have enough land to have a couple of fruit trees that might mm-hmm. overproduce? Does anybody know about gardening with Bernalillo water or Rio Rancho water?
Well, there's the Sandoval County Agricultural Extension and the Master Gardeners Program. There's always a representative from that group at the farmers market. So they are a wealth of information.
Okay.
And Linda Gavin, who's the Sandoval County Regional Ag Extension person,
okay.
is often at the market. And you can there's plenty of information to be had.
Because I mean, you might have noticed a kind of a tangential point I'm making here. Besides talking about the Bernalillo Farmers Market at Rotary Park that begins June 17th, so mark your calendar. I should ask what time of the day does it start?
4 to 7, late afternoon.
I was going to say 4 a.m.
No, farmers get up early.
Four to seven. Well, okay, so you can get take
you
care.
Can stop on your way home.
Right, and the we day have, of the week.
Friday,
okay.
Friday afternoon, 4 to 7. If it's a really nice day and we've got lots of stuff, sometimes we keep open a little longer,
sure.
but we don't start till 4. But a lot of people on their way home from work just
well,
stop by.
Well, you do your weekend produce shopping right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Avoid all those crowded places. So that the tangential point was maybe to encourage people to do a little gardening. And if for some reason they're super successful, there's a place to donate it. Or sell it.
The best thing is to grow your own food. You know where it is. Fresh picked everything is just, you yeah, know.
Tomatoes,
chard
cucumbers.
And kale and all veggies, peas and beans. We have great 4 different colors of string beans.
Wow.
And
my brother-in-law up in right outside of Washington, D.C. was a gardener. And he had string beans one year that I swear, they were like 2.5 feet long.
Oh, those are Chinese yard-long beans.
Okay.
Fabulous flavor. We grow those, mm-hmm. too.
And so fun to look at.
Yes,
and long, skinny, maybe a foot and a half cucumber type, almost like an English cucumber, but an eggplant.
Oh, those are Asian eggplants.
Okay.
And yes, we grow those, too.
All right, so...
We do grow a lot of Asian vegetables. We grew a lot of specialty vegetables, including fennel. We have fabulous fennel.
Fennel, as someone who cooks a lot, that's one vegetable I have not embraced in my cooking years. And I see all kinds of recipes, and people say it's wonderful. I just need to hunker down and pick some up at the farmer's market.
It's absolutely delicious. I have a slaw recipe that's fennel and apple and celery.
Right. But it's fennel, that licorice taste, isn't
it? It's a little bit licorice taste. But if you cook it in like Italian pasta sauces,
right,
it just adds flavor. It's not
It's a seasoning, not main.
Yes.
Okay. So it's what you're telling me, it's like anything else. If I put enough garlic butter on it, it's going to taste good.
It just, you get very used to the taste. And when it's fresh and crispy, it's just fabulous.
I do like tarragon, which is kind of in there.
Well, then you're not going to have any trouble with fennel.
I just need to grow up and try something new.
Often I bring recipes with me.
Oh, good. Now, is there a, how would people find out more about the Bernalillo Farmers Market if, it's a few weeks out?
Yes.
They might forget. I heard about it on KUPR. Someplace to go to, is it posted someplace?
Okay, we are developing a website, and we will have a Facebook page under Bernalillo Farmers Market, and I will give you the contact information for the market manager. Her name is Bonnie Hill. Her telephone number is 228-5801. Her email address is bwhillshal@yahoo.com. And you can always find me. We're on Facebook. It's Huertas Canyon Farm. And you just can type in that and find the contact information for me, and I'm happy to help you too.
It's easier to find you online than to actually find the physical ranch.
Oh, yes, yes. The farm is, you need instructions to get to. Well, you know that.
Yes, but it's beautiful out there. Well, not to get away from the main topic of the farmer's market, but at your farm, do you have like a small concession stand or something? Can people come up?
No.
Okay. What about commercial people? If they say, hey,
We do supply the vegetables for Blades in the summertime, Blades Bistro in Placidas, but I deliver to them.
Okay.
But it's hard enough keeping up with an acre and a half of produce, picking it, sorting it, getting it ready for market. It's very tough if we've got people coming in all the time because we're always planting and weeding and picking. It's a lot of work for two people.
I would think. And cultivating.
Oh, yes.
I find as I age, that's one of my least desirable things. I'll bend over and weed.
Oh,
just
man.
Don't give me the pitchfork.
Well, rototillers are a great thing.
Now, if I use a gas-powered utensil, does it void it of being organic?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm just teasing.
We have a rototiller that we dearly love.
Is there, is it possible with a place like Blades, can they say, you know, next season, Nancy, we want more Japanese eggplant?
What Kevin Blattergruen, the chef at Blades, asked me at the beginning of one season is to plant shishito peppers. Now, this was right when they were starting to be the rage with local cooks. I'd never heard of them. And we started growing shishitos for Kevin. And they became so popular that we try and take some to market, too.
Right.
When the shishitos first hit the markets, the farmers markets, they were going for $16 a pound in Santa Fe. Now I think they're down to $4 or $5 a pound.
Now, a pound is like a shoebox size?
These are very light. I mean, I could sell them for a dollar an ounce back in the days when we were getting a lot of money for them. And that would be, you know, six or seven peppers. They're little tiny peppers.
Right.
And highly flavorful.
Now, of the various harvests that you have, let's just take some of your lettuces.
Yeah.
Or is that lettuce? Lettuces.
Lettuces.
So for a restaurant that has a pretty good head count over the course of a week, how many heads of lettuce is that? Do you have to grow?
Well, Kevin and I always before I bring things down, I'll say, how much lettuce do you want? Sometimes he's got leftovers. Sometimes salads aren't selling very well. So probably 8-10 heads is what I normally can give them a week. But because we are so local and Blades is right down the road, Kevin will call and say, I made something really delicious with that fennel. Have you got any more? And I'll just take him down some more. But that with one restaurant.
Let me taste it, and I'll tell you.
Yes. But when we have an overflow,
sure.
One day I called Matt Gregory, who is a neighbor and also owns The Range and various other restaurants, and said, Matt, could you use some organic tomatoes? I sold him 53 pounds of tomatoes one afternoon.
Now, that's wonderful. Now, we were talking about the taste of a fresh tomato and a cucumber.
Yes.
I love different types of lettuces.
Mm-hmm.
Even the feared endive, I find delicious. I used to make a endive grapefruit and pimento salad.
Sounds great.
Very simple, yes. But lots of flavors. And when I've grown all my stuff, I've never attempted lettuces. So when I pick my first piece of Boston lettuce, I go, oh my God, what have I been missing? Is it that dramatic?
I think it is. You get flavor that you just don't get in supermarket lettuces, and that you don't get when they've been picked a week or two before and stored.
Yeah.
And the nice thing with lettuce is, if you don't pull out the roots, if you just cut it at the base, then the roots keep growing, okay. And you get another head of lettuce in a couple of weeks.
So you actually cut it at the base. This should probably be for the discussion with Master Gardener, but I'll ask you anyway.
Yeah.
You cut it at the base as opposed to harvest individual leaves?
Yeah. Some people, we do lettuce mix, where particularly when the lettuces aren't as big, and we do pick the individual leaves and wash them and sell them as a spring mix.
Right.
But a lot of people want a whole head of lettuce, and they're a little bit trickier to wash, but we try our best. And
more water.
Yeah.
Well, or do you have a lettuce washing machine?
You know, big farmers do have those, but no, we don't.
Yeah. And that must, I mean, I've always found, other than music, gardening is such an important thing.
It is so restful. I keep saying, you know, I love picking peas. It's a Zen experience. You become one with the pea.
Right.
Because if you're not, you don't see, because the peas and the leaves are all exactly the same color. So you just, it's a quiet experience. I can't say that weeding is quite as satisfactory.
Become one with the pea.
Yes, you become one with the pea.
I think picking the peas is probably better than shucking the peas.
Oh, well, we don't pick any that you shuck. We have sugar snaps and snow peas.
Okay.
Which you eat everything, and they're very tender and very delicious.
That's a good direction for what I'm going to grow.
Yes.
Farmer's market. Is there historically a number of vendors that are there?
We've had everything from 5 to 35, probably.
Okay.
So we're really encouraging vendors from all over. We get folks from the Pueblos who will get a gazillion melons.
Mm-hmm.
We get folks who have chili crops. And some people who have big sort of multi-purpose farms that...
Right.
Are there all of the time, but it just varies.
Now, but besides all of the obvious health and taste and community benefits of shopping at the Bernalillo Farmers Market, which starts June 17th at 4 p.m., as someone who is not a grower, but I'm a consumer, and I want to be a good consumer.
Mm-hmm.
When I want to buy a TV, I look online and see who has the best deal. Do I need to be a good consumer when I'm shopping at farmers markets? Like, I know that apricots are X amount per pound, and you're way expensive. Is that something that we should take personal responsibility for, or is the recovering engineer coming out in me?
Well, we do not overcharge, but we are trying to keep our businesses going.
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to pay more at a farmers market. But in terms of quality and freshness, and things like our stuff lasts longer in your refrigerator because it's so much fresher.
Certainly. Well, yeah, you've got a 2 or 3 week head start on the stuff you buy at the grocery.
But, you know, everything will spoil sooner or later.
Yeah. I mean, being up here in Placitas, a lot of art.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I can go online and find out what a Rembrandt XYZ should cost, whether it's the original or a serigraph. All of these original artists that we are surrounded by today in the Collin Room at the Plitocetus Community Library, I always wonder, how do they come up with the price? Because some are 100 and some are 5,000. And as a non-artist, so that would be my challenge if I were to sell tomatoes. If I was to put a value on it for tomatoes I sell, it's going to be about $1,800 a pound. I'm probably not going to sell a lot.
No, you won't sell a lot. There are a couple of things that I do is that I look at the organic sections of the local markets, Sprouts and Whole Foods, and even Albertsons and Smith's are stocking organics. So I like to see what other people are selling for. Often we are less expensive than they are. But I also want to see what the other growers are selling, because we're not in the business of undercutting each other.
Right. You're not a gas station across the street.
No. We're
all 2 liters or Pepsi for 50 cents.
I mean, some people are selling a little cheaper because this is more of a hobby for them. Mm-hmm. Some of us have to make a living at it, and some of us just want to convince the IRS that we are a business, and so we have to make a little bit of profit every once in a while. But nobody's going to get rich selling organic vegetables at a farmer's market.
But it's also, like any business, depending on where you shop for like bananas or avocados, if it's a regular chain, you could go in and the bananas could be 18 cents a pound because they're tomorrow they'll be mush. So if you, like you said, some of the Pueblos come in with truckloads of melons, they've got to move those.
Yes, and if you come at peak tomato season, we not only have good prices, but we also have ugly tomatoes. Tomatoes that are good for soups and sauces, right, but you don't want to serve sliced in your salad.
To me, it's like a pug dog. You know, it's so ugly, it's cute.
Yes.
And so I cut up the ugly tomatoes with pride.
Absolutely. People waste way too much food. There was a wonderful National Geographic article a couple of months ago on ugly food. And we bring some of it, but we tend to discount it if it's not absolutely perfect. And like for tomatoes, soups and sauces, you don't know what those are going to look like once. I mean, it doesn't matter what they look like once you've cut them up and cooked them.
That's right. Speaking of ugly fruit, I periodically you'll see a Travel Channel whatever, and they go to Asia or Southeast Asia, and there's, I think it's called an ugly fruit, and it's ugly.
An ugly fruit.
It's so pungent, it will like knock you over. And I'm going, well, why do you want to eat that? It's like, you know, I take my socks out of the clean drawer, not the dirty drawer. So I guess there's a taste for everything.
Well, I've never found anything that was really objectionable tasting at with what we grow in New Mexico. Right.
Just remember that garlic butter.
That's the key. Oh, yes.
Is there, to your knowledge, in this area, maybe through the Extension Service, because a lot of families here have been a long, long time. They have a lot of land. They might have a decent amount of water. Is it something that people who, as they're finishing their high school education, could say, you know, maybe I'm not a, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm not going to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a plumber. I'm New Mexican. I want to be a farmer. Are they taught that they could possibly turn the land they already have, which in many cases is priceless, to actually farm it?
Well, if you're lucky enough to have inherited some land, there are agencies and organizations that will help you set up to be a farmer. And we are getting people who've inherited land from their granddad who are starting to farm again. There's a whole new generation of young farmers. If you're in a specific area and want to learn something about farming, and we're looking for somebody like this right now, you could be an intern. We'd be happy to take on somebody who wants to learn how to farm and teach them that and pay them a little bit and probably work them a lot.
Sure. Well, that's there is no such day as like an easy day on the farm.
No, farming is a lot of
or
work.
Or a day off, except off season, I guess. So we're talking about if you were lucky enough to inherit some land, some younger people are getting into farming. What if you happen to have a fair amount of land, which I don't know if that's an acre or 10, that you know you're not going to use? Can you grant access to people to say, hey, farm my land, go for it?
there are some organizations, and I didn't come prepared for this question, that will connect you.
We'll still vote for you.
Yeah. But every year, first of all, talk to your Ag Extension agent.
Okay.
They're really, really useful. Once a year, the biggest farming conference in New Mexico is the Organic Farmers Conference. It happens in February.
Okay.
There are lots of networking possibilities for younger farmers. There's always a couple of, you know, social events for the younger farmers. And we're finding that there are organizations that will pair younger farmers with older folks like us who aren't going to farm forever and would like somebody to help with their
land.
Is
it always in the same city?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, our problem with Placidus is that if you don't live here, we can't provide you with a place to live on our land.
Right.
And it can be expensive to live here.
I've heard that. Or at least expensive to pay taxes here.
Yeah. But there are people looking, because the farmer population is aging. We desperately need young farmers.
Yes, I think that's a problem globally, where people want to go to the big city and work for a high-tech company. And
it's so much more fun to farm, and it's so much less stressful.
But you'll
never get rich doing it.
Not rich financially.
Oh, but yes, it is such a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And part of the question is, how much do you need?
Yes, exactly.
So, I'm sure you're in touch with all of your growers as the season's coming up. Do they give you any previews and say, Nancy, we're going to have a big radicchio season this year?
Well, no, but we do get the vendors together the week before the market opens. So we have a potluck dinner and we talk about what we can expect from the crops. But pretty much farming is just so week to week that you may not know how many lettuces you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Or with peas particularly, because they hide.
Sure.
How many peas you're going to be able to pick to bring to the market. So it's always a little bit of a luck of the draw.
Well, that's fantastic. In June 17th, when the Bernalillo Farmers Market starts at Rotary Park at 7 p.m., I'm sorry, at 4 p.m., what are the first vegetables or fruits that are going to be offered?
Probably, we at least will have chard and kale, probably some lettuces, lots of herbs. We grow fabulous tarragon, which is very hard to find in the markets. Right.
French tarragon?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'll be there.
Onions.
Okay.
Lots of people have overwintered onions. So you'll see some crops. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if our beets are going to be big enough, but we do have some overwintered beets. So it's going to be the spring crops.
Right.
Some people probably will have peas.
Okay.
We won't, but...
Well, as you said, you're at 7,000 feet.
Yeah, it just takes a little longer, but then we...
But you'll have them longer.
Oh, but we have them all summer long,
right.
Yeah.
So there's a plus and minus to everything.
Right.
All right, well, let's wrap this up, Nancy. I have been speaking with Nancy Kellum-Rose of the Huertas, I guess...
Huertas Canyon Farm.
I'm saying ranch.
Huertas Canyon Farm. Ranch is livestock, generally.
Okay. See, I learn things by listening to me. So, Huertas Canyon Farm up here in Placitas, New Mexico, but the main topic is the Bernalillo Farmers Market. New location this year, Rotary Park. Day one will be June 17th at 4 p.m. And I'll just say it'll run till as long as the people want it.
Generally, we close at 7. Close a little bit earlier as it starts to get dark or if it's raining. But generally, we are open from 4 to 7.
And for more information, you need to go back to the beginning of this interview and listen to everyone's email and phone number. But let's give it one more time, just so
okay, well,
to be nice.
You can reach me at nancykrose@comcast.net. You can reach our market manager, Bonnie Hill, at phone number is 228-5801, and she's happy to talk to you on the phone.
Fantastic. I always like happy people on the phone. They're so much better than unhappy people. So for another conversation with Matthew Bronson, this is Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM in the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico. Happy eating. Thank you, Nancy.